a moment ago, we were talking about John Fogerty. Taylor Swift did this, and now John Fogerty is. He had a big issue with his record company years
ago. One of the ugliest chapters in rock and roll history.
I thought so. He has a new album coming out in August called Legacy, the Creedence Clearwater Revival Years, and he has apparently released songs John's way, like the way he wanted them released years ago. I don't know if he's re-recorded, but they are versions of Creedence classics the way he wanted them to be.
We have also is because he owns the masters, of those deals.
Now he does.
Yeah.
He did, you know, so that's just as Taylor Swift.
Because the record sounded fantastic. I'm not sure that it was an audio thing. It may have been more of an ownership thing.
I guess.
Because his own he lost the rights to his music.
Correct.
Fogerty couldn't play Creedence songs until, I think, the late 1980s because of a dispute with a guy named Zant.
That's right. He says, this is a quote from John Fogerty, "For most of my life, I did not own the songs I had written. Getting them back changes everything. Legacy is my way of celebrating that.
Okay.
Playing these songs on my own terms with the people I love." So I think he has re-recorded them.
Yeah, I think they're all re-recorded. There's little differences that you can hear.
But if he's now...
I mean, he's an older man.
He's 80
sure.
now.
Yeah.
This is... we have a couple. Up Around the Bend.
Solid.
Sounds great.
Sounds good.
I mean, yeah. If he's done that recently at 80 years old.
Yeah, nothing to hang your head about.
I'm impressed, yeah.
He was, if memory serves, I was listening to some, it was the 4th of July, maybe 88 or 87, and Fogerty was doing some live concert on the radio, and he started like playing the opening chords of Born on the Bayou, and it had been the like, first time in 15 years he'd played it. And we were like, oh, yeah. He's doing it.
Yeah.
And then he had already had Center Field had become a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was that record or his second solo record after that one. When, because the guy he was in the battle with was Saul Zant.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a song called Zant Can't Dance because he'll steal your money.
Ah.
And he had to change it because Zant sued him. He said, you can't, that's me.
Yeah.
So he changed it to Vance Can't Dance. And the music video is this pig stealing John Fogerty's money. I mean, it's not very subtle.
Wow. I like it. Right to the point. Yeah. Let's just get after it.
And then Zant sued Fogerty, I think, at one point for saying that your music sounds too much like John Fogerty music.
That's it. Didn't he like, he got sued for playing his own music.
They said, you sound like too much like a Creedence record. He's like, well, I was Creedence.
Yeah. Of course. God, what a weird.
Those two just despised one another. I don't know if they ever made peace. I can't imagine that they did. I'm not sure if Zant is still living.
Well, normally I come down on the side of big business.
Big business, corporations.
But I'm going to go for the little guy here. I'm going to go for John Fogerty because I like his music.
You know? He's the artist.
I think he's right. Here's the re-record of Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Re-recorded versions of Creedence songs. Proud Mary, Down on the Corner, Fortunate Son on there too. And they'll be out in August. He still sounds great.
Sounds pretty good.
He really does. You know, I saw
let's see if we can hit this. Yeah, not bad. Definitely some age.
I saw him open for John Mellencamp. This has been 20 years ago, but he was great. He was better than Mellencamp in my mind that night. You know my beef with that. Have I told you my beef on that, BB Show? Now, look, I like... Chris Dim's heard this. You hear the groan.
And my favorite thing is you would never say it to Mellencamp's face because you're afraid he'd punch you.
Oh, God. John Mellencamp? Yeah, he'll...
But he's an ornery performer.
He is.
He's prickly.
I don't know if he was that prickly then. It was a while back. But what he did was he would sing, and this is Mellencamp, he wouldn't sing most of the song. The audience would just sing it. Like he'd do Jack and Diane or Hurt So Good.
Little Diddy, and then hold the microphone to the crowd.
Hold the microphone to the crowd, which, you know, that's fun for a song. I get it. I mean, that's a concert vibe. But at the end, I was thinking, you know, I want to hear you sing. I don't want to hear me sing.
I sing in the car.
Exactly. And, you know, there's 10,000 of us singing Hurt So Good. And I was like, why don't you sing that, John? But Fogerty, he sang his songs.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the only one that's outraged.
I'm with you. I'm in that boat with you, man.
I want
to hear you sing.
Exactly.
I got these tickets from the radio station.
That's right.
I worked hard for these tickets.
That's right. And I did get them from the radio station.
Didn't you pay to park when you didn't have to?
20 to park.
I thought they had to give. They at some point folded parking into the price of a ticket, and you didn't. They didn't charge at the gate anymore.
I got the tickets for free from the radio station, and you know who I went with? My wife couldn't go. I took my sister and my nephew, and we had it was a very nice time over at it was an outdoor concert, and we drove and got there and everything. And I said, now they're going to get me on parking. And somebody came walking up and said, $20, and I handed it to him. And then Chris Dim told me on Monday, you know, they don't charge for parking.
Parking's free now.
That was the first time I got scammed, I guess. First of a long line of me being duped by scammers. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, that's folded into the price of the ticket, which you already got for free. So you just gave some guy $20. I've done that a few times now where people have gotten me for parking. By the way, we air some commercials on a few stations for the police department. Have you heard these? These are great commercials. And it's a police officer telling the story of like his quirkiest or strangest case. And they're really riveting.
Trying to recruit
new police officers. And they're riveting. They're like, one night we were on, you know, patrol and such happened. Well, I've been contacted that the police officer who came to my home for the Great Pine Straw in the Jacquantavius incident of 3 years ago will be using that in his commercial.
As a story you won't believe, but it really happened.
Yes. Sad but true.
When we got to the complainant's house, he was hiding in a closet with a facsimile football helmet on his head.
And a Broncos helmet on my head. Why? Because Jacquantavius had shown up.
He had come back.
Looking for his money. And my lawyer, who I was on the phone with, trembling in the closet, said, why don't you call the cops? I was like, well, that never occurred to me. And I did. And when they arrived, now we're going to have that police officer on our air saying, when this local...
Reliving your nightmare.
Yes, exactly.